Turn, please, with me to the book of Colossians, all right? Find the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians. The Lord's got a message on my heart today to share with you as these are going. I appreciate those serving in our children's church ministry. Are you in the center of God's will? Are you in the will of God? And if not, why not? Today, before you leave, you can get back in the center of the will of God. Listen to me, beloved. All it takes is one bad decision. Just one bad decision to get you out of the center of the will of God and get you on the peripheral of the will of God rather than the center of the will of God. How many of you heard last week about this young man, 30 years old, was up at the Atlanta Braves game stadium? And according to the article I read in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, this 30-year-old man, he's 6 feet 5 inches tall, had just talked with his mom by the telephone. And she said, according to the article I read, that he was probably had drank a few beers. According to her, he probably wasn't drunk, but he had drank a few beers. And furthermore, he's standing in the smoking section at the Atlanta Braves game stadium. And according to the article, he must have leaned over 65 feet in the air, looking at the cars in the smoking section down below. And he fell 65 feet to his death down below. Two thoughts came to my mind. One, we need to pray for that family. Two, what a wasted life. What a wasted life. 30 years old. Throwing his life away. I look around and I see people all the time wasting their life. We've only got one shot at this thing called life. And Solomon wrote and said, there's more to life than pleasure. There's more to life than land and houses. There's more to life than wine and women and wealth. Oh, there's more to life, and it's knowing and experiencing the God who made us and loving Him and being in the center of His will for your life. The world offers you money. The world offers you pleasure and popularity and corporate ladder syndrome of quote success. But God says, find the center of my will. I'll bless you. I'll use you. And speaking of the world, I heard about a man that was sitting by the roadside crying, boo-hooing. A man saw him crying. He walked up to him and he said, sir, why are you crying? The other man responded by saying, haven't you heard? No, I haven't. What have I heard? He said, Rockefeller died. You know, billionaire Rockefeller. And the man who was talking with the man who was crying, he said, well, you're crying. He said, are you kin to Rockefeller? The man said, no, that's why I'm crying. Are you in the center of the will of God? Do you know absolutely that you're where God wants you to be? George Beverly Shea, how many of you heard that name, George Beverly Shea? He was 104 years old, and he died this year. That great man of God, you know. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. And George Beverly Shea was asked this question. They said, 104 years old, what do you know about Jesus? Do you know a lot about Jesus? And you know what George Beverly Shea said? He said, I don't really know a lot about Jesus, but what I do know about Jesus has changed my life. I don't know about you, but what I know about my Lord has changed my life. And I hope you're here today and you've had a change of life. Are you in the center of the will of God? I got a call this week about a man. I'm not going to call his name. I love this dear brother. But watch. All it takes is one bad decision to get you out of the center of the will of God. And this particular brother, another brother called me and said, this brother is making some bad decisions. It just took one bad decision. Daily decisions determine destiny. And this brother made a bad decision. Hey, we're faced with decisions all the time. This brother now, in all appearances, is out of the will of God. But oh, God's not finished, but he's making bad decisions. decisions, reaping the consequences of decisions. And I realize, my dear brother and sister, there I go, yet by the grace of God. Are you in the center of God's will? Oh, listen, God wants you to be in the center of His will. And by the way, I believe that the Lord loves me and He loves you. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life, for my life. And if we just discover who He is and what He wants and what He wants to do, man, you talk about really victory. You talk about experiencing the life here below that He has intended. That's when we'll experience His will for our life, when we get in on what He's up to in our life. And it's because of His love. It's because of who He is. I don't know about y'all, but hey, listen to me. I feel like I owe God a great debt. I can't pay Him back. You can't pay Him back. In fact, He does not expect us to try to pay Him back. But you know what? What I can do is take my hands off my life and say, here am I, Lord, use me. And that's what you can do today. Not that He expects us, not from a legalistic perspective, but simply because Jesus loved me and Jesus has got a plan for my life. And I want to be, Lord, I'm not always in the center of your will, but God, you know I want to be right there. Can I tell you something? Serving the Lord is not always easy. Hey, it's not always easy. You're going to be misunderstood. You're going to be talked about. Things don't happen always the way you want them to happen. But I want you to know this, and don't miss this at all. Serving the Lord may not always be easy, but serving the Lord always has its benefits. And they're simply out of this world. I'm telling you, you ought to try it. You'll like it. There's nothing like being in the center of the will of God. I'm not telling you that everything's going to go peaches and cream. I'm not going to tell you that you'll have smooth sailing all the way. But I am telling you this. If you find God's will for your life and love Him supremely and yield to His Lordship daily, then you will experience a life that's simply out of this world here below. Some of you are right in the center of the will of God. Some of you are not. But all today can be that turnaround in your life. It can absolutely be a turnaround. How many want to change this world before you leave out of this world? Come on, talk to me. I don't want to leave this old world the same way I found it when I came into it. And rather than the world changing me, bless God, we need to be changing the world. Somebody talk to me. Oh, I'm not going to let this old world mold me and make me. No, no, no. I want to change. I want to be a world changer, making a difference, all for the glory of God. Not for my glory, not for my accolades, but Lord, that's what you called me to do. That's what you instruct me to do. That's what you have planned for me to do. I hear the Lord calling you today. I hear the Lord saying, follow me today. I hear the Lord saying, church, you better prepare for the end times. I believe that with all my heart. You got your Bibles. Look with me in the book of Colossians. Are you in the center of the will of God? And there are four best reasons that God quickened in my heart this week. Four reasons I want to share with you today. Why you and I, it's a privilege to serve the Lord. I'll tell you, I don't know about y'all, but I can sure say without hesitation and without reservation, it is a privilege to serve my King. That God would save me. That God would use me or you. What a privilege. What a privilege. What a privilege. Lord, I just want to say I thank you now. I want to thank you now for choosing me. I didn't choose you. Thank you for putting the pieces back together in the puzzle. Thank you, God, for rebuilding the broken, messed up, scarred life. And oh, God, we love you now. Worship you. Speak, Lord. Speak, move on our hearts today. Help us, Father, to yield and surrender our all to you, Jesus. You're worth it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now then, as you're in the book of Colossians, let's take a little journey to this book. Are you ready? We're going to do a flash through the book of Colossians. I want to bring your attention to several verses.
First, note this, in the fact that the Apostle Paul is writing the book of Colossians, he's in prison, mind you. In fact, we're told by historians he never visited this church, but we do know that he probably wrote the letters under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and he gave the letter to one of his co-laborers. Paul understood the importance of serving together, not about me and mine, and not about my own little world, but it's working together in the Lordship of Christ, and therefore, he probably gave this letter to Epaphras, or some say it might have been one of his other co-laborers listed in the last book of the last chapter, that is, of Colossians, maybe Tychicus or Archippus or one of the brothers. Epaphras could have been the one. Nonetheless, he writes this letter, and in the background of the book of Colossians, the theme is the sufficiency of Jesus Christ, namely his deity, that he is God. How many believe that he is God? I'm not talking about a good man or a bad man. I'm talking about the God man. And that's very vital in this postmodern and in this pluralistic society in which we live. But nonetheless, Paul wrote and said, and in, by the way, as he wrote, he countered, yea, he refuted these false teachers. Namely, Gnosticism had infiltrated the church, and false teaching had infiltrated the church, and therefore the Word of God is inspired. Now, having said that, as we progress through this wonderful epistle in the Word of God, you'll note several things. First of all, notice chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, and there are several themes that emerge out of this text. Namely, this: we are to living by faith. And Paul commends the church of Colossae for living by faith. Secondly, you'll notice growing in faith. How many believe that we ought not to be the same this year as we were last year? Oh, are you growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus? Are you experiencing his resurrection power? Are you breaking from sin? Are you letting God strip you from idols? Is there anything in your life that you love more or serve more than Jesus? Are you in the center of the will of God? But furthermore, as we progress through the book of Colossians, you'll notice verses 9 through verse 20. And in chapter 1, verses 9 through 20, the Apostle Paul namely paints the picture of, number 1, the will of God, knowing the will of God. And you can read that. But furthermore, he paints the picture of not only knowing the will of God, but understanding the work of the risen Lord, that he has delivered us, for example, out of the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's verse 13. And not only that, but we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. That's verse 14. He is the image of the invisible God. That's verse 15. And bottom line is, the invisible God became the visible God, namely in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 16 that he was not a created being. He's not just an angel, as some of the cults would have us to believe. Rather, Jesus is God, and he created all things, and by him all things were created. Thrones and dominions, principalities and powers, all things are created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, which is his body, the fullness of him. He is the head of the church, the Word of God says. So here's what he's saying. Not only understanding the will of God, but understanding the work of Jesus. Thirdly, he's saying the worthiness of the Lamb of God. Now then, we come to the chapter 1, verses 21. And skip over verse 22 and 23. Because we'll come back to that in a moment. But also in chapter 1, verses 24 through 29, we're going to come back to that in a moment as well. Progress rather rapidly through the book of Colossians, and you'll notice in chapter 2, if you start in verse 1, if we go through chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 7, you'll note this. First, there is a word of exhortation, a word of encouragement. Paul says to this church, a real church, during his day. Secondly, you'll notice not only a word of encouragement, but a walk of faith. If you'll notice chapter 2 and verse 6 of the book of Colossians, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, go on living under his lordship as you've received him. Have you received the Lord today? Are you living under his lordship today? Is he really master of boss, or is he just a figment of your imagination? Is he really controlling your life, or are you in control of your life? He says it's a walk of faith. But then furthermore, as we go to verse number 8 of Colossians chapter 2, we progress through, namely, through verse 15. But hold your thought there, because we'll come back to that in just a moment. If you'll notice, verse 17, throughout the rest of the chapter, chapter 2, two things emerge. Number one is this: don't get caught in the legalistic trap. How many know that if you've been in church for a while, you can get legalistic? That's right. It just becomes rules and regulations. I did this, I did this, I don't do this, I do this. Instead of letting the Spirit of God control you and fill you and anoint you and empower you. Oh, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Are you Spirit filled today? Are you walking in the Spirit today? Are you full of the Holy Ghost today? Are you being led by the Spirit of God today? Are you in the center of the will of God? Don't get caught in a legalistic trap. Rather, avoid the legalistic trap, which is a man-made rules and regulations. Then we come to chapter 3. Look at chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Here's some key phrases. I'm flying through this, obviously. Number 1, look up. Number 2, look in. Number 3, look out. If ye then be risen with Christ, since you've been risen with Christ. He's not asking your opinion. He's not telling us, do you understand this? He's saying, this is what's happened. Oh, bless God. God says, not only been crucified with Christ, we've been raised with him. Glory be to God. Now, Jesus is living in me. Look up, look in. And then look out. You know why we ought to look out? How many believe that Jesus is coming again? When Christ, look at chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Oh, I'm telling you, the Lord's coming. I don't know when, and nobody knows when. But the Father in heaven, according to Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 36. Wait a minute. We come to chapter number 3 and verses 5 through 17. Mark it. Chapter 3, verses 18 following is dealing with the home. What wives wish their husbands knew about them. What husbands wish their wives knew about them. What parents wish their children knew about them. What children wish their parents knew about them. What employers wish employees knew about them. What employees wish employers knew about them. Oh, listen. In chapter 4, a summary of continuing prayer. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. You may not know how you ought to answer a man. Chapter 4, verse 6. But then he says at the end, I love it. And chapter 4 and verse 17, it's been a verse that's been quickened on my heart. He says in verse 17, it's a great verse. Take heed. He's not just talking to preachers. He's not just talking to deacons. He's not just talking to Sunday school teachers. And he's not just talking to missionaries. He's talking to every Christian. Take heed to the ministry whereof you've been called, that thou fulfillest it. It's not how you start in this old race, it's how you finish. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now, having said that, let me go back and simply summarize three, mainly really four if we got time. Four. The best reasons I know for being in the center of the will of God. And here they are. Number one, remember what Jesus has done for you. Got it? Remember what Jesus has done for you. That's found in Colossians 1, verse 21 and 22. Number two, remember what Jesus is doing through you. That's found in verse chapter 1, verses 24, to the end of the chapter, verses 29. Number 3, why should I be in the center of the will of God? Why should I have a love relationship with this King and follow him? Number 3, not only what he has done for me, what he's doing through me and you, us, but number 3, who he is and what he is in me now. That ought to motivate me. That ought to prepare me to say, Lord, yes, your will be done. I want to get in the center of your will. Number 4, not only what he is in me, that is found in Colossians. By the way, I'm going back to number 3. That's found in Colossians 1:27. We'll see it in a moment. That's found, furthermore, in the Colossians chapter number 2, verses 8 through 15. Some of you like to take notes. Some of you like to be conscientious of this, and so I'm given this meat to follow with me. But number four, not only what Jesus has done for me and what he's done for you, and not only what he is doing through us and what he is in us, but number four, I want to get in the center of the will of God because of what Jesus wants to do. What he wants to do for me and with me. That's found in chapter 3, verses 5 through 17. All right, let's go. Why should I serve the Lord? Why should I be in the will of God? Number one, because of what Jesus has done. Look at me, look at me. He's done it for you. If you're a Christian, if you've been saved today, I want you to know. Listen to me. If you're listening, say amen.
Amen.
Jesus gave his all for you. He gave us all for you. You. He gave us all for you. And you. And me. Is there anything less than heaven's best that I can give to him? He gave his all. I know what you're thinking. Follow with me a moment. Supposing the Lord would have said, woke up in the morning, Father, today I've got a headache. I don't think I'm going to go to the cross today. I don't feel good. Do we not give the Lord all these excuses and alibis for not being in the center of the will of God? Jesus could have said, Father, I don't feel too good today. No, he didn't say that. And God gives us the grace to obey the Lord. I know some of you hadn't felt good all week, me included. But praise God, it's not about me, it's about him. And I know there's times when we have to be sick, et cetera, et cetera. But I believe we use that as a lame excuse for not serving God. Amen. Y'all are with me? That's all right. But wait a minute. Number two. Wonder if Jesus would have said this. Father, I'm too stressed out. Job I've got is just too much on me. I just don't feel like the day that he was to go to the cross. I've got too much on me. Too much pressure on me. People are wanting me to feed them. People are wanting me to heal them. People are wanting me to raise them from the dead. I'm just tired, Father. Hello. That's what we tell God. Come on. That's what we tell God. I don't feel like getting out of bed today. I think I'll just sit in the bed and lay and not go to church today. I'm just too tired. Jesus didn't say that. Wonder if the Lord would have said something like this. Father, today I think I want to go camping. Lord, today I think I want to go fishing. Oh, today I think I'm going to go shopping. Lord, I got too much going on and I just got so much other to do. No, no, no. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. I'm telling you, this is not legalism at all. Once you discover what the Lord's done for you, it'll cause you to love him more. And it's out of that love relationship. Hear me. It's out of that love. Listen to me. Today is Servant Surrender Sunday. Don't you sign a cotton-picking thing if you're going to do it because the pastor said it. You need to get with God and let God, the Holy Ghost, lead you. And I guarantee if you get sent out and Jesus in, God's going to lead you. Not because the church said it, not because the pastor said it, but thank God because Jesus said it. Amen and amen and amen. Oh, yeah, preachers will fail you, and people will fail you. I've got news for you. Jesus will never fail you. It's about him. It's about his will for your life. Why are you making all these excuses? I hear somebody saying, wonder if Jesus would have said this, Father, people don't like me. They're criticizing me, Father. Matter of fact, they won't pick up stones and stone me. I don't feel like going to the cross today, but no, Jesus said, Father, your will be done. Have you made that statement? Have you come to that place in your life when you realize your life is not about you? When Jesus redeemed you with his blood, we're bought with a price. And when that thought and truth grips your heart, you'll never be the same. When you realize the sacrificial death, the substitutionary death, the precious blood of the Lamb that God, the work that it did to save my soul. How many are glad you're saved today? Can I tell y'all something? See if you agree. Jesus has been better to me than I've been to him. He's been better to me than I've been to him. And I want y'all to hear me. If the Lord should call me home this afternoon, I don't know, he may. Y'all listening? He could call me home today. If he called me home, he's still been good to me. He's still done for me what no one else could do for me. He's still been good to me. If he calls me home, he would not have to do one other single thing. He's been good to me. Has he been good to you? I said, did you get to walk in with your health today? I said, did you wake up in your bed this morning in your right mind? I said, you got a little money in your pocket. You got a little food in your refrigerator. You got clothes on your back. You got shoes on your feet. We are blessed people. You just go over to third world countries and you'll see poverty. You'll see struggling. You'll see they don't have the blessings, materially speaking, that we do. And if we're not careful, we put our confidence and faith in the blessings rather than the blesser. Can I tell y'all something? How many feel like you've had a hard time this week? You've had a hard week? Some of you have. Some of us have. But y'all listen to me. Y'all look up here just a minute. I'll tell you, a person right here in the church will trade with you in a heartbeat. Pam Busby will trade with you. You want to go where she's going tomorrow? She's going for chemotherapy. How many will trade with her? She'll go to your job. She'll go do what you do if you'll take her place. I'm telling you, we're believing God's going to see her through. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But look at me. It's time we stop whining and start shining. Look around, you can see somebody going through more troubles and trials than you and me. Number two, not only look at chapter 1, verse 22 and 23 of the book of Colossians. Here's under number one, look what he says. Verse 21, if you're there, say amen. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by weak words, yet now hath he reconciled, brought together, reconciled, changed relationship in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. What's Paul saying? Paul's saying this, that this is what you used to be. You used to be alienated. Is there anybody here that thank God God snatched you off the wide and the broad gate? God rescued you. You'd be like me going to hell if you weren't in hell already had it not have been for the grace of God. Hey, there's some of us here today, we hadn't got over. We just need to go back and remember the price. Remember the blessings. Remember the grace. Remember the love. Remember where God has brought you from. He said, this is the way you used to be. But Paul further says, but this is what you are now. You're holy. You're unblameable. You're unprovable. Thank God we're a part of the family of God. Then number two, not only, if you'll notice, what Jesus has done for you and me, us. That's why I want to be in the center of his will. That's why I want to break free from the world, the flesh and the devil. What he's done for me. Not only that, but what he's doing through us. Look at verse 24. Look at verse 24, chapter 1 of the book of Colossians. Paul, the apostle, inspired by the Holy Ghost of God, said, who now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Hey, he's not having a picnic. He's going through some hell and back. But watch, he says, church, I know the will of God's not going to be a smooth sailing all the time, but it's always full of blessings. Look at chapter 1, verse 25. Whereof I made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given unto me for you to fulfill the word of God. God's got a plan for Paul. He's got a plan for you. It may not be a missionary like Paul, but bless God, it's to be an ambassador for Jesus. Right, you're where you're at because God placed you there. If you prayed about it, you're in the will of God. Man, let your light shine. Stop whining and complaining about what you can't do. Start blessing God what you can do. Start shining the light. Start being good salt and light. Start saying, praise God. If God before me, who can be against me? That's right. Rise up, child of God. Don't let the devil get you negative, and don't let the devil steal your joy and your peace. No, we've been called for such a time as this. No, we are preparing for that glorious day when the Lord shall split the eastern skies and come with a shout and the voice of the archangel. Lord, I want to be found faithful. Listen to what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 46. Jesus said, blessed is the servant when his Lord comes shall find so doing. How many want to say, bless God? I don't know about you, but it's for me and my house. We're going to serve God. Then keep reading. Look at this, verse 26. Even the mystery, the word mystery is the word mysterion, means that which is concealed or hidden. He's carrying us back to an Old Testament principle, how the Old Testament predicts the coming of the Messiah. Watch this. Keep reading. Verse 26. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints. Verse 27. I love it. Look at verse 27. To whom, look at it, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wow. I'm telling you, the Jews rejected the gospel, the good news. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Nope, we don't want it, by and large. And therefore, God had already planned from eternity past, the word of God, the gospel would come to us Gentiles. I'm glad I'm included. Y'all miss that. I said, had the God not have in mercy given us the word of God and the gospel, we'd be of all men most miserable. But wait a minute. He said, Christ is in you, the hope of glory. But keep reading. Verse 28. Look at verse 28. Here it is. He says, to whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man. What's the next word? The word is teleos in the original language. Teleos. Teleos means mature, that we might present every man mature. Can I tell you something, child of God? If you've been saved by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed by His marvelous grace, I want you to know we're in the business, according to Matthew 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. We're in the business of reaching and then teaching. We're in the business of evangelism, telling people, repent, the kingdom of God's at hand. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But that's not our work. It's not finished. Not only reaching and not only evangelism, but discipling, pouring in. That's what Paul's saying here. He said that we might present every man, that's young converts, that's those new babes in the Lord, that's those who've been sitting in church for years, maybe they've gotten out of the will of God, we might present them mature. Are you a mature Christian? You get your feelings hurt all the time. After whine about it and go talk to somebody about it and criticize somebody about it. To live with the saints above, that's going to be glory. But to live with the saints below, that's a different story. God help us to grow up in Christ. God help us. We'll see it in a moment. Listen to me. What Christ Jesus is doing through you. Look at verse 29. Look at this. Paul the apostle said, whereunto I also labor. That word is a strong word. Blood, sweat, and tears. I labor striving. The word striving means wrestling. You're putting every ounce of energy into wrestling. Have you ever seen a wrestling match? And those wrestlers, man, they're trying to pin the other one. They're not up there joking around and laughing. They're struggling and exerting an enormous amount of energy. That's what the word striving means. I labor striving according to His working. That word working is the word energia, where we get our word energy. It's not me, but it's Christ in me. It's the power of a living God. Hey, listen, be filled with the Spirit. I labor striving according to His working. Watch this, keep reading. Verse 29. According to His working, which worketh in me. Somebody help me. Works in me mightily. Dynamite. The word is dunamis. God's called me. God's saved me. God's filling me. Lord, it's your work. It's your glory. It's your kingdom. It's your word, Lord. I need a touch from the Master's hand. Is there any child of God here? Say, man, I've been beat down. I've been worn down. But praise God, I'm going to ask God to fill me up today to go out in this world with the good news. Amen and amen and amen. Here's the bottom line. We're the hands of Jesus. We're the heart of Jesus. We're the feet of Jesus. We're the mouth of Jesus. You realize He's chosen you and me to carry on His work on earth? He could do it with us or without us, yet He chooses us. Is that not a privilege? We are His hands. That's why He wants to use you today to lift up somebody that's been knocked down. Help them up. Help them up. That's why He wants to use your hands today as you pray for somebody, for God to encourage them, God to strengthen them, and God to release His power in them to make them overcomers. We're not only His hands, we're His heart. Compassion. Jesus looked out on the fields and saw they were white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Tell me, are you full of compassion today? Do you see people that are hurting? Doesn't it move you? Doesn't it cause you to want to have not only sympathy and empathy, but compassion? Lord, what can I do to help? Can I just pray for them? Oh, God, people are dying. People are sick. People are needing to know you care. Compassion. Then we're His feet. Lord, I want to be in the center of your will. I will go where you want me to go. You know what? The Bible says as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8 and 14. And the Word of God teaches in Galatians 5 and 16, walk in the Spirit. You should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Psalm 37 and verse 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Hallelujah. And then Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. The light of the justice is a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Ephesians chapter 5 verses 15 through 17 says this in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, wisely, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, the days are evil. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I'm telling you, there's a will that God's got for you, and there's a purpose that God's got for me. I want to be in the center of the will of God. What is it? Is it idleness that's crippling your life? Is it an attitude that's crippling your life? Is it worldliness that's crippling your life? Is it some experience that you've let the devil rob you of fulfilling God's purpose? What is it today that you need to take a step back to the will of God? Has it been a bad decision? Have you taken your eyes off the Lord? Have you made some decision to say, I just want to have my time. I want to go where I want to go. I want my life. Hey, we are bought with a price, and we really, honestly, when it comes down to the New Testament, have no right to ourselves according to Jesus. Y'all didn't say amen there, but I will tell you, Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you've got to deny yourself. Take up a cross. Oh, wait a minute, brother. Can I tell y'all something happened to me last week? We had a wonderful staff meeting at IHOP. How many know where IHOP's at up in Covington? Jake can take you there, amen. Put in a plug for me, man. I'm trying to help you. He's a senior in high school. We met up there at 5 o'clock. It was midnight. Stand out in the parking lot still talking. Isn't that a blessing? Midnight. Anyway, wee hours of the night, I get this message. Mama's had a stroke. She's in a coma. They're taking her to a hospice. I don't do this always, but happened to have my phone on and called and said, where's she at? Bernice McGee. Made my way over to McDonough, Georgia, to Serenity Care Hospice. Not knowing what the situation was. And there as I got there, there was Claude, Brother Claude. He'd be sitting right over here, by the way. He'd been sitting here for weeks and weeks, and Bernice would be too, for that matter. And Barbara was there, and Barbara's daughter was there, Leah. And we stood around the bedside, and I looked at Bernice, and Bernice had glazed eyes when she even opened her eyes. I said, Bernice, I've just come to pray with you. She looked at me with a glazed eyes, knowing I didn't know what was going on, not responding. I said, well, let's pray. About 4 o'clock in the morning, let's pray. We gathered around the bedside. I said, Father, I don't know what's going on, but God, your will be done in Bernice's life. And Lord, if it please you, raise her up off this bed of affliction. How many believe that God's got healing power? I'm telling you, he's got healing power. It doesn't always happen, but watch. And we stood around the bedside after we prayed for her, and probably an hour later, about 5 o'clock, 5:30 in the morning, she opened her eyes and started talking.
Amen.
I said she opened her eyes and started talking, knowing who I was, knowing who everybody else was. I'm saying this, God's working through you now. God's expressing his life to you now. Look what Jesus has done. Remember what he's done for you. And then remember what he's doing in you and through you for his glory. Three words emerge out of this text. And that is Colossians 1, verse 28 and 29. If you're like one of those that like to take notes, you'll note these three words. Here they are. Number one, conformity. Number two, maturity. And number three, opportunity. First, conformity. How many believe that God is wanting to conform us to his image? That's what he's doing. He's molding us and making us. And that's what it's all about. Lord, you're the potter. I'm the clay. I didn't call myself. I didn't save myself. Father, you got a will for me. Your will is that I love you. Your will is that I be surrendered to you. Your will is that I be all out for you. You've done so much, and God, I know I can't pay you back. But Lord, I can't take my hands off my life and say, here am I. Use me. How many believe that God wants to use you today as a vessel? Conformity. Romans 8 and 28 and 29 says that. Whom he did predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Don't get the cart before the horse. Don't try to serve God in the flesh. Rather, out of that, watch this. Out of that intimate relationship, out of that personal knowledge and experience of Jesus living in you now, there I begin to serve him. It's from there I receive power to do what God's called me to do. Conformity, maturity, present every man perfect, and then opportunity. Then let's hasten on. Number three, not only the reason I want to be in the will of God is because of what Jesus has done for me, and not only what he's doing through you and me. Hallelujah. Let me just pause there. Feel the presence of the Lord. Y'all look at these that are fixing to be baptized in a few minutes. Tyler Mason was at his hospital, Brother Ken and Sandy, when he was born. Almost 14 years ago, November. I was there when he was born. Hallelujah. Look what God's doing, church. Look at this young lady right here, Shelby. Bless God, she's going to be baptized. Not only that, and I don't think this... We love Tyler and Shelby. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Let me tell you what God's doing in their life. And I say this to God be the glory. We as a church family, we love people. Come on. We want the will of God, not only for us, but for everybody. Guess what's going to happen? In a few weeks, they're going to get married.
Amen.
I can't hear you.
Amen.
Is that a God thing or what? I can't hear you. I don't need to elaborate. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God's real. Now, what is God wanting to do? Not only for me and in me, but through me and then in me. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 3. Real quick, we'll be done. Chapter 3, verse 5, following. What he's wanting to do in me now. Chapter 3, verse 5. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Mortify. What's that word? Mortify meaning he's put to death. Who's wanting to do that in me and through me now? Glory be to his name. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon this earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things the sake of the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in whom which you also walked sometime. Paul said, don't forget that. When you lived in them, but now, bless God, but now. Verse number 8, but now. You also put off these things, anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created you, whether there is neither Greek or Jew, neither circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness, and mind meekness, long-suffering. Look at verse 13. Forbearing one another. What's Paul saying? He says, put up with each other. I know you don't dot your I's like everybody else dots their I's. I know you don't cross your T's like everybody else crosses their T's. I know you're different than everybody else. But forbear each other. Put up with each other. Pray for each other. Love each other. Oh, by the shall all men know that you're my disciples. If you have love one to another. Look at verse 13 again. Forbearing one another. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do you. And above these things, put on charity, which is the perfect bond of peace, that is love. And let the peace of God, look at verse 15, rule in your heart, all to which you are called in one body, and be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly above all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And the church said, oh, here's what he's saying. Bye-bye to the old man. No. No. Hey. Goodbye. Say goodbye to that old man. I asked Tyler yesterday, I was at his house. I said, what do you think baptism mean? He said, the old Tyler's going under, but there's going to be a new Tyler coming up. Amen. Goodbye, old man. Hello, new man. A new you. I want you to know you're a new you today. Here's what I think the Lord's saying. As we go to number four and we'll be done. Number four. Look what Jesus has done for you. Don't you want to be in his will? The center of his will? Sure. Look what he's doing through you. You may not be aware. The words you speak, the cards you write, the phone calls you make, the visits you make, the prayers you're praying, the pie you're cooking. Oh, listen. Not only what he's doing through you, what he is in you. Number four, what he wants for you. Look at chapter 2, verse 8. Chapter 2, verse 8. We'll be done in just about a couple of minutes. Chapter 2, verse 8. Two things I want you to remember. Be ready to share what you believe. Then number two, be ready to defend what you believe. Verse 8. Are you there? Say amen if you're there. Amen. Beware. Watch out. Blepo is the word. Beware, watch out, lest any man spoil. That word spoil means carry you off through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness. The word fullness is pleroma, the totality of God the Father and God the Son. Oh, bless his holy name. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead and bodily. And look at this verse 10. And ye are complete in him, which is ahead of all principalities and powers. Here's the bottom line. We're incomplete when we're not in him. But you're complete when you're in him. And then he talks about blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances against us and stripping and nailing it to the cross. And then he says, he has stripped and spoiled principalities as we read that. And here's what God's saying. Are you ready to share what Jesus has done for you? We are ambassadors. Go tell the world, friend. I don't know about y'all, but look at me. See if you agree. We are losing ground in America. Do you believe that? You see that, don't you? Guess what our children and grandchildren are going to have to inherit? Doesn't that bother you? Doesn't it concern you? Doesn't it make you want to say, Lord, I want to be in the center of your will, however much time I've got? If ever a time we needed some men of God and women of God, it's right now. How many of you ever heard of the tomb of the unknown soldier? Have you heard about these military men that guard the unknown tomb? 80% that apply for the job get turned down. Only 20% are accepted. The prerequisites, the qualifications, score 250 on a test. The Army. Must be 5 feet 11 to 6'4". That excludes me. Can I get an amen? I'll tell tell you what else screws me. You got to have a 30-inch waist. Wives, look at your husband. Say, you got a long way to go, honey. But do you know what? These soldiers are so disciplined. So courageous. So determined. Such stamina and endurance. They guard this tomb 365 days out of the year. July the 1st, 1937 is when they first started guarding this tomb. Day and night, 24 hours a day, rain, sleet, snow, hurricane. Never in the history has there been someone who was not guarding that tomb, even when the hurricane came that way. Here's what they do. They march 21 steps and turn for 21 seconds. Then they march another 21 steps, commemorating the 21. Somebody help me. Yes. 21 steps. Over and over again. I got to thinking about it. If they're willing to be disciplined and willing to go and endure hardness, how much more should we? As soldiers of the cross, but willing to do and go through for our Lord. You want to change the world? You want Jesus to change your world? Are you willing to do what God tells you to do to see that you leave this world different than you came in? Let's stand together.